Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, June 29, 2008. It is now 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government. Now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking. Regarding our political structure, we need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620, or email us at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast or through our archives, you may call us at 918 area code 919-0101. And if we answer the phone, we'll be more than happy to speak to you. If not, please leave a message. We'll either call you back or respond to your comments during our next live broadcast. And please call in this evening. Again, the number is 646-652-4620. We have 5 open mics this morning, this evening, and we'd love to hear from you. First, I'd like to mention that last week was a little education for everyone, folks. Last week, we saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average go down to near to a low of the past year or so. And now it looks like we may be entering official bear territory. Now, we very, very rarely hit that. I think that's 20% below the high of the Dow. And we're down 15% now. So we're approaching that, folks. And what this is telling you, and is telling everyone, this is the market is telling us, is that there is something wrong with the system. There is something wrong with the system. By the way, folks, it looks like we have a glitch in our system. It shows on my monitor that I have 11 minutes remaining, and I wonder how that ever happened. Well, I hope I don't have 11 minutes remaining. Okay, we're going to go for an hour anyway. So if you want to call in 646-652-4620, if you have a problem with that number, please call area code 918-919-0101. Thank you. Now, what the market is telling us is that we have a real problem with our system. And I was reading an article. It was a speech. Oh, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't give you the person's name. But it was a speech given at the at Hillsdale College. And it was talking about comparing the United States today with 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, and how much better off we are in all the areas that he mentioned. And I agreed with him 100%. And he says there's no reason for all of this pessimism. The only thing that he leaves out, however, of his speech is that the financial condition of our country has worsened. In other words, he talked about productivity, jobs, technology, and he was absolutely correct. But we forget that all of this is predicated on the fact that we need the money in order to operate. That is the cornerstone of our economy. No economy can work if there is no financial situation, if there's no currency involved. I mean, it collapses. No matter how good you're, no matter how productive you are, if you do not have a strong financial currency or financial system with which to conduct business, the whole thing collapses, and this is where we falter. This is when you hear people on television talking about how good things really are, and you really shouldn't be pessimistic. They fail to realize that the financial part of the business, the monetary part of the business, the incredible debt that we're running up, and the debt because of war, because of social spending, because of irresponsible government, that is the thing that collapses every single empire, and we're going that way. Folks, things are getting scary out there. I think this week was an indication. I do implore you to please go to my friend's website, Andy Sutton, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. That two is a numeric two. He discusses these economic issues and how they could affect you. It's absolutely free. It's the best newsletter in the business. And he's sort of like a macro economist. And it's very, very interesting. He's a very good writer. He also has a paid subscription for The Sensible Investor. And he gives you an idea of where to put your money to be safe. You know? Well, anyway, please do so. Go to my friend Andy Sutton's website. And I think he can be of a lot of help to you. Also, I remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Folks, herein lies a problem. We have government giving us solutions. And who is government but the people who are running for office these days? These are the ones that are looking to have solutions for us, for all of our economic woes. And I'd like to harp a little bit this evening on the energy crisis. You see, folks, there is no energy crisis. I know what you're thinking. I've lost it. You know, why listen any further? This guy's a nut. He doesn't go out there. He probably doesn't buy gasoline, doesn't realize I'm paying over $4 a gallon, and it's rising. And he says there's no energy crisis. What is wrong with this guy? Well, let me explain this. High prices is not a crisis. Crisis is a term used by politicians so they can enact laws and regulations which do not benefit us, which would benefit somebody else, I can guarantee you, but would benefit them because it would be perceived as if they are doing something about this crisis, right? And then we can reelect them to screw it up even further. High prices are not a crisis. Now, what you have to ask yourself is that why are there high prices? Well, we assume we know is because the Arabs are charging too much. Well, if that's the case, why are they only charging right now $140, $141 a barrel? I mean, if they had unlimited wherewithal to charge what they'd like to charge, what do you think they would charge? Why would they stop at $141? Why not $200, $300? Why not $500? Dollars a barrel. Well, you see, the fact is that, first of all, OPEC has some control over prices because they are one of the main suppliers. But the market would dictate whether or not anyone wants to buy it at that price. Now, what's happening here, and this is exactly what's happening here in the United States. You know, most people, in fact, something like 70% of the people have drastically reduced the amount of driving they engage in. Well, think about that. What do we have? We have a situation where before the energy crisis, in that we had to conserve. You know, we had pollution problems. We have problems with the traffic jams and all this other stuff, right? So all of a sudden, the price of gasoline goes up. People start concerned. Oh, and people are buying SUVs when they have absolutely no business buying these monstrosities just to go to store to buy a container of milk. You know, I often give this analogy, and I've done this before, and I haven't done it in a long time. Just think for a second, if you were someone from out of space, right, and you landed here on the planet Earth, and you noticed all these, and you're flying around, and you notice all of these vehicles, right, on all of these arterials all over the country, and you'd ask, well, what are those things? And I would, you know, if you were with an earthling, the earthling would say, well, those are cars. You say, what are they doing? They say, well, those are people driving around. You say, well, that's interesting. You know, how much does an earthling weigh? You say, well, average 180 pounds. And I'm just making that up, 180 pounds. You say, how much does a car weigh? Oh, 4,000. And then the space alien would say, wait a minute now, you know, there's something wrong with your planet. Do you mean you need a 4,000-pound vehicle to transport a 180-pound earthling? There's something wrong with your planet. You don't need 4,000 pounds to transport 180 pounds. And they would be absolutely correct. You see, we are incredibly wasteful in the way that we use fuel. That is, in fact, the crisis. The crisis is our own mentality. It's not that the fact that we're buying too much fuel, we're using it, we're consuming too much. 2 years ago, when people were buying Ford Excursions and Expeditions, these gigantic mother of cars, I mean, they're just gigantic. And Hummers 2, Hummer 3, you know, Hummer 4, whatever they are. And yet they were getting lousy, incredibly lousy gas mileage. And I often commented, and I said, do these people think that gasoline is going to be cheap for the rest of their lives? What would happen if there's an oil shock and oil goes up in price considerably? What would these auto companies do? They're tooled to make these gigantic cars and pickup trucks. Then what do they do? Well, voila, and this is what happens. In other words, we set ourselves up. We set ourselves up and put ourselves in this position. People very mindlessly, they're very concerned about the environment, and then they go out and buy an SUV that gets 12 miles to the gallon. Well, that's not an energy crisis. What if all of a sudden everyone's car got 60 miles to the gallon? Let's assume just tomorrow morning we woke up and for some reason everyone was getting 60 miles to the gallon. There wouldn't be any energy crisis, would there? Because a crisis don't denote something that's in crisis. We're not in crisis, but higher prices are not crisis. Why would a higher price of anything be a crisis? It's just a crisis because we are ill-prepared to deal with it. And what are we dealing with? We're dealing with something, with a force, with an economic force that is forcing us, as Americans, voluntarily, we're doing this voluntarily, by the way, folks, in a way, because no one's forcing us to drive less. What's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. Because when we drive less, what happens? Less pollution. Less waste. Less congestion. Fewer auto accidents, fewer deaths, fewer emergency rooms, trips to the emergency room. Our police departments, just think of the police and fire departments. Every time they go out to an accident, it takes a tremendous amount of time. Firemen don't fight fires much anymore. What they do is they go to accidents all the time. Well, people drive less, there's fewer cars, fewer accidents. It relieves them, takes the pressure off of our services. Are these bad? No, these are all good. I mean, just think, if you're driving to work in congestion, it may take you 45 minutes to get there. If congestion is relieved, and it doesn't have to be relieved 50% or 100%, but just 5%, traffic flows much faster. So instead of being on the road for 45 minutes, you're on the road for 30 minutes. Why is that a problem? How could that possibly be a problem? It's not a problem, folks. In fact, higher prices, I contend, is a solution. Yeah, I know, crazy, isn't it? Well, isn't a solution? It reduces greenhouse gases. Gets us to work faster, reduces pollution, reduces our own personal expenses. And not only that, Americans are getting, you know, kind of heavy. We are getting heavy and lazy, and maybe we get to walk more. Maybe we think twice before we do something wasteful. Maybe what we'll do is carpool. Maybe we'll walk to a bus stop. Now, some people can't. There are no buses. But maybe with the price of oil the way it is, possibly someone will start a van. Now, a van to downtown to work. Just think about this. An entrepreneurial person is living in suburbia, used to drive all by themselves downtown. Now the guy says, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to pick up one of those vans, those big vans. And then what I'm going to do is solicit all the people in my neighborhood, and we'll all go in together. I'll charge them, $5 a throw or whatever every day. It'll pay for my commute and my van, right? I wind up with a free van, right? And I take 5 cars off the road. Something like that. Well, that's the American spirit. That's the way we do things. But yet, we consider this a crisis. It's not a crisis, folks. This is an opportunity. I want you to know that. Well, I think, folks, we lost our telephone number, 646-652-4620. And I think what happened is that we didn't allot the timing on it properly, and we lost it. And so right now we are streaming, you know, we have streaming radio, but we have no telephone number. If you do want to call in, you'll have to call in to 918-919-0101. Okay, now, so understand, number one, we're not at a crisis. So if we're not at a crisis, why do we need Obama and McCain to tell us what the solution is? We're solving it ourselves. We're doing it ourselves. We are thinking twice before we're getting in the car just to go drive 2 or 3 miles to get a newspaper. Maybe we say, we won't get the newspaper, we'll get our news online. You know, whatever the case may be. And I know what people are thinking. They're saying, oh, geez, Joe, you're not considering the poor. The poor have got to get to work and this and that. Even the poor can do this. If the poor have a car, they can say, go in their neighborhood and say, I'll commute. I'll transport people into work. And they'll probably make some money out of the deal. You know, folks, this is America. We should be a free people. We should be thinking free. We should be have some ingenuity. Now, their solutions is not that the free market will handle it, but they're going to allow for drilling. You know, they want McCain. Obama doesn't want drilling in Anwar. McCain does, or vice versa. Some want offshore drilling, you know. And I ask question. First of all, who determines whether or not we drill offshore? Just think about that. It's offshore. It's in the ocean. We don't own that. If a company says, I'm going to invest $250 million in a platform for an exploratory well to see if we can extract some oil from there, you know, and if I do, nothing may come up. I may lose $250 million. Why should we stop that person? It's a free country, right? So this person should be able to drill in the ocean. Oh, I know what you're saying. They say, well, no, we got this 3-mile limit thing. And whatever it is today that we have the 3-mile limit, that's the United States. And you know how they determine that? They determine that depending on how far a drill bit can go down. Well, right now, at one time, it was considered, you know, unthinkable that you can go down 1,000 feet, you know, in the ocean floor. I mean, we didn't have the technology. So the continental shelf, as they call it, the 3-mile limit where we can, you know, that was kind of pretty close in, you know. Now we can go down miles. So all of a sudden we want to extend it out. Well, why don't we extend it halfway out to the Atlantic Ocean? I know it's silly by saying that. But it's the same logic, is it not? Shouldn't anyone, any country, be permitted to drill wherever they want if they have the technology to do it? In fact, that's what we do, but we have a courtesy. We go to the government and say, we're going to drill off your shore. And then we get permits to do so because we don't want to start a war with that country. And for them to say, well, we don't want any other country drilling off of our continental shelf because it's a matter of national security, there's another term again we use. You know, we have an oil crisis and national security. First of all, there's no oil crisis. And what does that have to do with our national security? Because another country is drilling oil, we'll buy it from them. Now, they got to give us a good deal because they're really close to us. It doesn't have to transport far. And they know darn well that if they hack us off, you know, one gunshot and that whole damn platform is down in the ocean. They would cut us some heck of a good deal. Let me tell you, I would love for them to take the risk and do that and drill a platform. Folks, I think what we have to do is take what our our candidates are saying and really think through the logic of it. Think ethanol. Think how smart that was and how, oh, they're all for ethanol. In other words, they were subsidizing an industry that wasn't worth subsidizing. In other words, you and I are paying for the ethanol plants to operate. It's an absolute sham. If ethanol was good, believe me, there would be companies making ethanol and making gasoline. But it wasn't economically viable. It wasn't commercially viable. It's not even good fuel. It only gets a fraction of the amount of mileage per gallon out of it. But yet the government subsidizes it. Why? Hey, guess why? Follow the money. As Senator Mike Gravel, one of my favorite guys from Alaska, said, if you want to know the answer to any question in Washington, follow the money. And if we follow the money, we'll find that there are people giving money to campaigns by the tune of millions of dollars, because they same people are in turn giving these people subsidies to build plants to produce ethanol, and the whole system is being subsidized by you and me. In other words, you and I pay for it. Isn't that terrific? That's the compassionate government we have. You know, we really have to start thinking about what this government is doing to us, folks. We really do. And if we keep on thinking like homeless, oh, by the way, folks, we have no phone lines. Let me tell you what I think happened. Before I start a program, I have to dedicate so much time, so much bandwidth and whatever. And I think what I did is I dedicated 15 minutes of time for my phone line to be open. Because I have to share them, you know, with everyone else. And it should have been 60 minutes, and it was only 50 minutes. So I have no incoming phone line. So you'll just have to bear with me for, let's say, the next I can make this a half-hour program rather than an hour program. And then we'll continue this discussion on Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Folks, my only point is this. Is that if this is in fact a free country and we are free people, we should be able to act freely. And we're not. We're waiting for the government to give us permission. The government should not be giving us permission because the government has no authority over us. We have authority over the government. We have to stop thinking the way we're thinking. You know, we talk about a housing crisis. There's no housing crisis. Banks thought that they could get away with securitizing loans, selling them overseas, and sticking somebody else with the bad mortgage. All right, well, if someone was stupid enough to do that, do it. But what the companies did, who bought these securitized instruments, or the SIVs, or the CDOs, or CMOs, and there's several acronyms for them, is they relied on Moody's Standard & Poor's, you know, on the ratings. And now there are lawsuits against them, and they should. And they should sue the heck out of them. Because they, in fact, gave them AAA ratings. And they were garbage. So you see, there is recourse within the system. But instead of doing that, our politicians tell the voters that they're compassionate. They care about these people losing their homes. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start paying the mortgage for them in one way, shape, or form. Now let's take a look at the person who has that type of mortgage. Many of these people did not have jobs, or they had jobs that would not qualify them for a mortgage. They had no money down, so they had nothing invested in the house. They were given an interest-only loan, which meant they lived in a beautiful house that they never would have afforded otherwise, for a couple of years. In other words, they had free rent for a couple of years in a beautiful home, They had a free ride for a couple of years. In fact, the banks even gave them a little bit of extra spending cash, which they spent and they had a good time. The party is over, which means that they give up the house and they go back to their apartment. And also, they get a job commensurate with the apartment that they have. Very simple, isn't it? You see, these people are poor people being thrown out of their homes. It was never their home to start off with. But the politicians will let us believe that. And that's the travesty of the whole thing. Folks, the only crisis that we have is a financial crisis. And that's the government giving away money that it does not have. It's the crisis of a government that is spending money on a war that we should not be fighting and that we don't have. It is the insurmountable debt that we have that'll probably never be paid off. It's the debasing of our currency. It's the reduction of our standard of living. That's the crisis. And who's to blame for that crisis? The Arabs? The Canadians? The Mexicans? The Asians? No, folks. You know who's responsible for that. Our own federal government. And when we say our own federal government, that includes the people who are running for office. We must beware. Totally beware of our government and its programs. Remember, as Edmund Opitz said, no one can read our Constitution without concluding that the people who wrote it wanted their government severely limited. The words no and not employed in restraint of government power occur 24 times in the first 7 articles of the Constitution and 22 more times in the Bill of Rights. And yet, the government tells us no. Tells us who to trade with and how much to trade for. We can't do anything today, folks, without the federal government giving us permission. That's the real crisis. There is, in fact, a monetary crisis. You nor I didn't cause it. You nor I can do anything about it. We can just protect ourselves. Our government caused the crisis, and yet we're asking them to solve it. That's like asking the mafia to clean up organized crime. It doesn't make any sense at all. And if you're a conservative Republican, I really wish you would rethink your thinking about rethink your attitude about the war in Iraq and all of the boys that have been killed there for no reason at all, and all those that have been maimed, both physically and mentally. And for all you social democrats who think that the government should be compassionate, it's easy to be compassionate when you're spending someone else's money. Why don't we just work as a community? Why don't we do for ourselves and our own local community? That way, we can all be a stronger nation. I think enough said. There is no energy crisis. There is no housing crisis. There is a financial crisis, and we're all going to pay for it, unfortunately. Okay, our next broadcast will be Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. We'll continue this conversation, and this time we'll have a call-in number. I have to apologize for not having a call-in number. We're going to cut this short. We're going to have an hour program initially, but we're going to make it a half hour this time. This is the end of today's broadcast, and we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, as Ron Paul says, the sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." Until next time, stay well. Stay tuned.